ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, all you fisher people, and welcome to this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, Northern Heat Outerwear, and Trophy Cat Adventures. I am your host, Brad, joined here by Other Brad, also known by a friend of ours as Team Brad. Brad, how you been?
You know what? I've been pretty good. It's we're on bonus time here right now. We're into the the second week in November, and we still have warm weather. You can still get in a boat. I know we both have had a chance to play around with that a little bit in the past few days, and it's bonus time, and I'm just enjoying the heck out of it.
Well, you know, part of me was feeling kind of bad because the deer hunters didn't get their crummy weather and snow like they wanted here in eastern North Dakota. On the other hand, me being with late season deer tags, I got to take my little red river tub for a little spin in Devil's Lake and for what maybe could be one last hurrah over at the old 6 mile bridge.
Well, and I took it the next step. My boat, which had last seen the water back in, April, when we had taken that memorable sturgeon trip, had sat lonely in the shed all summer long through the fall, and finally we got to let it see daylight again on Sunday. And it was nice to get it out on the water and you know, kind of a fitting finale, I think, because we were fishing basically the same area where we were fishing sturgeon, you know, within a mile or so either direction. And, you know, kind of the season started there, and now it's closing there. And had a good walleye bite, very light bite, but good action and good numbers of fish. We missed probably four fish for everyone we hooked. A little frustrating that way, but it's keeping you busy on a nice day when you don't have to wear gloves in November. So, you know, like you say, it was not deer hunting weather, but I wasn't deer hunting.
Well, that's just it. Neither was I. And my bite was, Saturday when I went out, I never even got a sniff, but Sunday I got out a little earlier, and turns out it was an earlier bite, just shut off, fish were moving, whatever. Needless to say, I did pretty well. I'm happy with the outcome, and just like you, a couple hundred miles away, it was a really, really light bite.
And like I say, it was a beautiful day to be on the water. But, you know, I think probably for you as well, there were some factors that probably influenced where you fished that day. I know it did for me because it was deer season. And again, you have, you have some other sports people out in the woods, enjoying a great time of year with high-powered rifles or shotguns and slugs, you know, things that you have to be aware of when you're out in a boat. And probably not very visible, you know, to somebody that's up on land, you know, excitedly shooting at a deer. And it made me think twice about one area I maybe would have liked to have gotten out and fished. And so we opted for, a plan where we wouldn't have, you know, conflicts with hunters. And I suspect you probably thought that way a little bit too.
Well, I never even thought of it until the week before when you had mentioned something to me. And it all of a sudden dawned on me that could have been a factor, because you're just kind of buried down there in a hole, especially if you're in a place like the Red River, which, on a sidebar, a friend of ours did venture out in the Red River and had some great walleye success right here in Grand Forks. But, you know, he took his life in his own hands going out there, because opening weekend in North Dakota and Minnesota, and we all know along the Red River, that's deer hunter's paradise.
It absolutely is, and they're not looking for people to be down on the water. I remember, it's probably about 4 years ago, I want to say, like September 2002, something like that, 3 years ago. We're fishing cats on a fall day, and somebody on the other side of the trees must have been doing some clay target shooting, because, the shotguns were going off much too regularly to be anything else. But, you know, you'd hear a shot, and the next thing you knew, there'd be just a little rainstorm of pellets hitting the water right by the boat. And sure, they'd lost all their momentum by that point. I mean, it was no danger to us, but it's a little disconcerting to know that you've got shot flying all around you. And you change that with the possibility of a slug or a high-powered rifle shell, and you know, that changes the scenario in a hurry. And it, you know, it's something you really do need to be aware of if you're going to be fishing late in the year. I know you talked about your friend there that had been fishing and catching some big walleyes on the river here. I just cringe when I think about being out there under that situation.
Well, I like hunting and I like fishing, but I mean, after you brought up the fact that there was going to be bullets flying, it's just, oh my, I never even thought of such a thing. But, you know, those rifle shells, especially some of those bigger calibers, we're looking 1-2 miles at a couple 3,000 feet per second. Heck, they could be a mile and a half from the river shooting at a deer. They're certainly not going to know you're down there.
They're not, and all it would take is one goofy bounce off a rock or a tree, and who knows, you know, if there's enough people out and about. And, you know, I guess the way I look at it, too, is, I mean, their window of opportunity isn't open that long. I mean, you're looking, you know, in Minnesota, you're looking at, you know, a maximum of 16 days, and in most places, it's more like 9 days. And, you know, maybe a little longer in North Dakota. But, you know, the bottom line in the grand scheme of a season is it's not that long. So I kind of figure, you know, give them their season, let them enjoy themselves. And, I mean, with the overabundance of deer we have right now, it's really important that, you know, hunters whittle those numbers down a little bit. So, you know, let them have their space, and hopefully there'll be some time to fish again after deer season ends.
Well, if you must go out and fish, we did think of some safety things that we could mention to you and pass along. That at least they're going to know you're there if they can see you. You're still not guaranteed of that. But, you know, just maybe it's a good idea to break out the old orange hunting vest and make yourself a little more visible. Orange hat and, you know, just make yourself a little more, how would you say it, conspicuous. I mean, you're not going to scare the deer. They're up on the land and they're used to boats anyway. But, you know, if there's a hunter sitting in a stand, maybe he'll get a glimpse of you as you're passing along and give you that extra second to move, or maybe he'll wait for the deer to change directions. You know, we are taught in hunter safety that you're supposed to shoot in the opposite direction, and just a little hint to maybe keep yourself a little safer for the next outing.
And absolutely, you know, and so what if you look like a big pumpkin out on the boat? You know, again, you're not going to have much company from other fishermen. It's, you know, you're not out there making a fashion statement. This is safety, and it's really important. And, you know, bottom line is the fish certainly aren't going to care. I mean, it doesn't bother the deer on land, and it certainly won't bother the fish. So, you know, keep that in mind, because there are places where fishermen and hunters definitely can interact, you know, this time of year. And it's something that, you know, both recreationists need to be aware of.
Yeah. And, I want to change gears on you here, Brad, for a minute. I know we're Why Fish and we talk about fishing, but I do want to mention that even though I do love fishing, I'm going to take a break and do a little deer hunting, and that's okay. So, you know, just something to keep in mind is, you know, you can change it up and enjoy the whole outdoors. I think that's important for everybody. I know you've been doing a lot of bird hunting this fall. I didn't get the opportunity to do any of that, but, you know, it is a nice change of pace, I think.
Well, not only that, I mean, you do have to have that deer sausage in the fish house this winter, and it doesn't fall out of the sky and come out of nowhere. So it's, you know, I'm glad you're getting out there, and I hope you have some luck. And I've got a tag, and I may get out once or twice myself. There's going to be, you know, I guess one weekend for sure that can hopefully get out and maybe extend it into muzzleloader season a little bit. But, you know, I'm going to take a pretty casual approach to it. If, you know, if it works out and I get to get out there a day or two, you know, great. And if not, that's fine too. But I do hope that there's some deer sausage coming into the mix somewhere along the line.
Well, let's hope that trend keeps it, because you're absolutely right. Nothing completes a fishing trip like some deer sausage or a deer steak, which is known to be on the grill while doing some tip-up fishing in the spring. But, you know, folks, we talk all about fishing. Obviously, with a name like Why Fish, that's what you're going to talk about. But the outdoors is the whole big grand scheme of things, and we don't want you to forget that. I mean, just get out and enjoy it all and keep making the memories there.
And, you know, get those deer numbers down. And, I, you know, the point of just how important that is was driven home to me with a vengeance on Sunday night coming back from my fishing trip to the mouth of the Rainy River. I was within about 5 miles of our camp, and there's a doe standing right along the highway, standing at a crossing, and I saw it. By the time I saw it, it was, you know, dangerously close for comfort. It's well after dark. you know, lock up the brakes. I can feel the trailer, you know, start to want to kind of fishtail a little bit behind me, but I had to get slowed down any way I could. Got to the point where I was, you know, basically standing still. The doe got kind of confused, and she jumped out right in front of me, right into the path of an oncoming car. And it looks like the car probably escaped too serious of a collision, because the next day, well, I pulled over after it happened just to see if the car needed any help, and they kept going. And there was no dead deer laying along the road the next day, but what a close call. You know, it would have been a real downer on what had just been a great day of fishing. And, you know, like I say, it really drove home the point to me that there's too many deer right now and it's dangerous. And, I mean, that's another aspect of safety to consider in this whole thing, you know, regardless of where you are. Be aware of the fact that there's a lot of deer just waiting to leap out right in front of you, especially at dawn and dusk and, you know, during those low light periods.
That can certainly ruin a trip in a hurry. I'm going to put on the memory since you bring all that up about, oh, must have been the summer of 2000. I think, yeah, I was still running my first boat, my 14-footer with a 25-horse Johnson on it. Driving out to Devil's Lake a little after lunch. Out of the ditch runs a deer. Runs head first into the side of the truck, spins around, knocks the boat right off the trailer. Totaled the boat, $600-$800 in damage to the truck. Middle of the day. Me being who I am, of course, finished the trip to Devil's Lake, make sure the boat floats, and actually finished out the season with a big dent in the side of the boat. Unfortunately, the motor wasn't damaged, but, you know, deer can damage boats and ruin a fishing trip just as much as anything else.
Absolutely. I'm sure it definitely, you know, put a bit of a blemish on that day. And, you know, like I say, it's just one more thing to be aware of. But, you know, one more thing I want to touch on here before we do wrap up this show is, and this goes back to the big walleye that was caught on the Red River in Grand Forks or, you know, somewhere nearby, you know, in the past few days. You know, I got an email with a picture of that fish, just an absolutely incredible walleye. But the guy who caught it, he was almost, you know, apologetic about the fact that he had kept that fish, you know, like somebody was going to get on his case about it. And I think it's important to remember people out there that, you know, there's no law against, you know, keeping a fish like that as long as the regulations permit it. And, I mean, when you catch the fish of a lifetime, you want to put it on the wall, more power to you as far as I'm concerned. You put a lot of time, effort into it, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to remember that fish. So, you know, I mean, a graphite mount is a great thing, but, again, remember, if you want to get a live mount, you want to keep a big fish, more power to you. I have no problem with that at all.
Well, you know, the constant preaching to throw the big ones back is not aimed at a almost 13-pound walleye that a guy wants to take to the taxidermist. It's aimed at the guy who wants to keep 7- and 8-pound walleyes for his entire possession limit for the dinner table. That's just a waste of a good resource for somebody who may want to put it on the wall in the future.
Absolutely, and I mean, this was just a classic case of you know, how a big fish should be utilized. You know, it's not going in the smoker. It's not going to be, you know, sitting in a freezer and throwing out a few, you know, several months down the road. So, you know, more power to him. Congratulations. I mean, that's a heck of a fish. And, you know, it's nice to know that there's fish like that out there. There's a lot of places you know, people would drive a long, long ways for a crack at a fish like that. And I think it just goes to show, again, what kind of a resource we have here and what kind of a resource so many people take for granted.
Well, that's just it. And unfortunately, I'm just as guilty. I think more that because of a time factor than not trying. It's just, you know, so many fish to catch and so little time. And I just ran out a year once again. And, you know, ice fishing is just around the corner. And I'm sure there's one waiting just as big for me.
Well, the wheels are already turning and thinking about how we can maybe get to some of those spots as soon as it's safe enough to walk out. And or even better, you know, take a snowmobile or get somewhere where you're close enough to access that, you know, some spots in the river easily. And, you know, one more thing to put in the bag of tricks for this winter. And again, it'll be one of those things where we don't have time to do it all, but it sure is fun to scheme and plan.
That's absolutely it. I think we're going to wrap it up here. I do want to take a minute. As you've noticed, the regular listeners, we've been picking up a few more sponsors. I want to thank all the sponsors for helping us out, because as the show gains in popularity, it actually costs more to produce, and they're helping us cover those costs. So any way you can, support these sponsors. You know, Stu Katz on the Red, he's been just great to us. what more can we say? Awesome walleyes, awesome cats, great guy, great staff, great resort.
It's like old home week every time we go up there. I mean, we're always made to feel so welcome. And I mean, this goes back several years. It's just a great place. I mean, I've had a chance. I've been lucky enough to fish a lot of places in my life over the years. But there's something special about that place, and I'll keep coming back.
You know, also Kent over at Trophy Cat, he just started last year, but he's been with us since the very beginning. He did take a break, and that's just to get his business going. He's back on board for the long haul, and he's excited to be with us, and we're excited to have him. Great guy to fish with here in Grand Forks on the Red. Knows his catfish. Northern Heat, we're going to have a lot more information coming down on Northern Heat. Been visiting with Ron, got a heck of a product. We're going to be getting a lot more information as they're getting ready to launch. And then, of course, Paul at Bullet Bobber, he's been in touch with me at least once a week about his new products and different ways he's marketing it. You know, and I just want to thank all these guys for being on board with us. And, you know, go to the partners page and check these guys out. And if they got anything you need, support them, and they'll support us, and we'll keep the show coming to you in the long run.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see the way this has evolved, and you know, to see it happening this way. It's I mean, you know, for the two of us, it's a great excuse for us to get together once a week and talk fishing. And I mean, that's not too hard of a thing for us to do. But you know, these sponsors and these supporters are important for keeping this thing on the road. And you know, we're very grateful to all of them. And so, you know, support them any way you can. And I guess we must all wrap her up for this week. So until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.